Well, thank you very much. Greetings from Bigger Sandy. I'm sorry, that giggled me so much, I just had to do it. The opening prayer actually fits my message very well. Today I'd want to talk to you about something that's very serious and probably a little painful for some to hear. Yes, we're blessed to be in a country that we're able to meet in safety, while there are other countries that they cannot. They have to meet in secret, sparingly, as if not to bring attention to themselves. If they get found out, it could mean to get roughed up, kidnapped, or injured, maybe even murdered. Yes, we are surely blessed to able to worship in peace, but this world is getting worse and worse every day. And yet, as bad as it is, there may come a time when the very elect will choose to let go of their crown just to save their lives. Think about this. Would you be willing to give up your life for God's truth? I'd like for us to start in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The title of this message is The Way of Escape. The Way of Escape. I'd like for you all to think about your trials now. Think about your hardest trials, whatever they may be. Did you make it through? Well, if you're hearing this message, I'm sure that you have, or you're still going through them. Somehow, though, it kind of worked out. But looking at these trials, even though we were set back somehow, but character-wise, we have become much stronger. So now, I'm wondering, or I bet you're wondering about my title. How does this have to do with what I started talking about? Well, I'll tell you. What if we're in a situation or a very difficult trial that the only way out is death? Are you willing to accept that? Granted, life seems quite precious and many are willing to give in because they don't want to deal with pain. We know that Satan spoke about this in the book of Job when speaking to God. Job 2, verse 4, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. So Satan, this is Job 2, verse 4, so Satan answered to the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. Does this concern you? Well, it really shouldn't. This time we have on earth in these corporeal bodies is but a drop in time, and will not be even closely compared to what God has in store for us. So let's go ahead and go to 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, know we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he has revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we see what's at stake here, right? Eternal life is the children of God. No more pain or disease or suffering. But this life, time seems to move a lot slower, especially when we're going through a trial. We need to think about the end goal instead of the here and now. But that sounds pretty easy to say and really hard to do. The idea that we are supposed to follow God and his teachings without worrying about physical pain and torment is something hard to endure. So let's look in the Bible for an example. In fact, there's lots of examples of people that have done just that. To name a few, we have Daniel and the lion's den, Moses at the Red Sea, the Apostle Paul in prison, beaten and shipwrecked many times, There are more examples that we can read about in the Bible, but I'm going to take you back to three young men, friends of Daniel. Y'all know them by their Chaldean names as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see in Daniel 2 that Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the great image had to be interpreted by Daniel. And Daniel and the three men were exalted and raised in stature. You can see that in Daniel 2, verses 48 and 49. No doubt, though, this angered many Chaldeans to see these men, these outsiders, being raised. We see in chapter 3 that the Chaldeans work hard at deposing them from their posts, even to the point of having them killed. So let's go to Daniel 3. Daniel 3, and we'll start in verse 8. Daniel 3, verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 13. Now Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Drop down to verse 15. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. And I'm sure they said that in a very respectful tone. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. We know that God saved them, but they were fully prepared mentally and physically to stand up for what they believed in. These three men knew what was on the line and were willing to die for it. God's law was to be followed at all costs. Can you do that? Can I do that? Will you do that? This is something that each and every one of us has to come to grips with. What is the most important thing in your life? Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, and we'll start in verse 3. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6 of 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Yes, brethren, as I stated at the beginning of this message, this is a very hard subject to talk about, but it must be thought about. It is very important because it means absolutely everything. Our eternal future is at stake. If we fail, we lose out completely. Let's go to Luke 9, and we'll read verses 23 to 25. Luke 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is to man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost?" One more verse, brethren. I think this would be an amazing thing to be said about me. Revelation 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads and on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 5, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death will have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Brethren, we don't know what's in store for us as we move forward in this ever-increasingly evil world. Being willing to die for God is all well and good, but the hardest thing may be is to live for God. If it comes down to it, are we willing to keep God's law? I think we should think about that very, very hard.